Let's talk business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Welcome to part two. Yes, part two on the discussion, from risk to readiness, building climate and disaster resilience in Barbados' MSMEs. I am Crystal J. Paul. Now, if you missed last week's riveting discussion, we're getting very practical, getting down to the nitty-gritty in this topic. And we have still with us Mrs. Misha Loban-Clark, Executive Director of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Ms. Lizra Fabien, UNDRR Consultant, and Mr. Hallam Payne, Managing Director of Steamatic Barbados Limited. Now, if you missed any of the edition last week, you can join us, listen to the podcast on starcomnetwork.net. You can look out for Let's Talk Business. I am Crystal J. Paul, and we continue our focus on safeguarding livelihoods, protecting investments, and ensuring Barbados' business community is prepared to withstand and recover from economic, climate, and disaster-related shocks. And our esteemed guests will pick up on our discussion from last week on this riveting topic. Sir, I'm going to begin with you this week. Steamatic, as it was mentioned in the last edition, we have Steamatic here, but Steamatic operates in over 24 countries. So you have quite a framework, you have experience upon which to draw for you to be able to handle things here in terms of climate change and disaster related issues. What were the key lessons you learned during the recovery process that other MSMEs in Barbados should understand before and not after a disaster strikes?
Thanks again. Some of the key things you need to know before is resilience is a system and is not necessarily a document that just stays dead. You have to, when you have your plan, you have to make sure that your plan is practiced. You have to make sure your contingency plan is something that everyone understands and is updated on regularly. You don't want to be in a situation where you're just winging it when things happen, because if you don't have a plan, you know, things usually fall apart. I think that was key for us. And we didn't always have a plan. Although we are in the restoration industry, it came naturally to us in how we did carry about business, but we were putting these things together. But over time, our plan started to germinate slowly, and it's grown and grown. And even now, working with the UNDP and the Chambers of Commerce, we've been able now to strengthen our position and strengthen our plan, although we thought we had a decent plan before. But it then goes back to relationships are key. That's one of the things we also learned, that in a disaster, how you work with people prior to the disaster, how you communicate with all your clients, persons that are even within the chamber. There are so many experiences that come together and you can lean on, that it really helps during these critical times. But going a little bit more specific, I mean, you need to make sure that your supplier relationships are solid. Very often we are checking our stock levels. There are certain reorder points that we ensure we have for critical items. For instance, this can be very specific. When COVID was happening, we had to ensure that we had all of our PPE, our overalls, and we always made sure we kept a certain amount of boxes, that when we hit, if we have two full boxes left, it was time to reorder. And these things were drilled in, and some things weren't perfect, to be honest. Everything isn't always perfect, but you learn from your mistakes. And because Barbados and the Caribbean has been in such an interesting position in the last couple of years, all of these things popping up, we had a lot of trial runs at trying to get things right that didn't actually turn into a huge emergency. So we would have had maybe Samud on pronouncing on a flood is coming. And then fortunately, the God is a Bajan, as you said in the previous show. Nothing happened, but it gave us an opportunity to test how strong we were, how quick we were able to react. Many times for us, some of the other key learnings and things that you can do before is we sit down with our clients and we have conversations. Should this happen, what happens? Like for our cleaning, we say, okay, when we know there's going to be all clear, not the all clear, we know that they're going to shut down the buses early. So let's now say we're going to start getting on the road earlier so we can provide a basic service to our clients beforehand. It may not be everything that we do, but we actually have a document that speaks to it. We have an agreement. So the client, on one hand, is not, they know what to expect, and we know what to deliver in this time. And that was one of the key things because many times even the clients themselves don't know what to do within an emergency. So that was a key takeaway from us, that we had a play sheet that would happen every time we got something, there's a flash flood warning. So when the flash flood warning happens, the operations calls the supervisors, they call the teams, we begin to put things in place. And we call our different relationships, key persons within these buildings and the places that we serve. And it starts to trigger things, and that helps a lot. Beyond that, I will say another thing is persons need to be multifaceted. If you have persons trained only to do one thing, it then becomes an emergency or a disaster. You can't be nimble, you can't be agile or dynamic, and you have to be able to think on your feet. So when very often within the day-to-day operations of our business, we allow persons to do different roles and do different things, and that helps that when an emergency happen. Funny enough, my operations manager can do a little bit of accounts, and I have supervisors and other managers that they know how to operate the equipment, that if something happens, they can assist the team. So that having those multi-trained and persons with that open thinking that, hey, there's no task beyond me, and to get through this, we all have to be one, is another key lesson that we took away. And you got to be fast. Barbados and the Caribbean, you know, the people like to make jokes about we are not the fastest at doing things sometimes, or we may not be as productive. But I think there's a segment of Barbados and the Caribbean that is very productive, very effective, and know how to do business. And that is why the Caribbean too is growing and the business is happening.
Right. Wow. I love the practicality of this discussion. And now, Lizra, even in your capacity there as within the UNDRR, I'm sure that you would have seen certain mindsets. You know, we see what happened in Jamaica. We would have seen Ivan. We would have seen other events. But still, we may have the thought that, okay, that's just a one-time event. But it's important for us to create a mindset for resilience planning. How can businesses shift, the business owners shift their mindset to seeing resilience planning as part of an everyday business strategy rather than just an emergency response?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And thanks for having us in the second part. It was so engaging in the first part that it had to be a two-part, right? So how do we shift the mindset? So if we keep looking at how we survive disasters, we'll always be in survival mode. Imagine, and one of the ways I like to think of it, when we look at resilience on an individual level, we multiply it and then it becomes community and then it becomes country. So as individuals and in our family, do we want to survive from just paycheck to paycheck, or we want to survive every day, like on a daily basis? What am I going to eat today, and just focusing on the immediate part of it? So when we think of it from the business side, we're not looking at just how we survive disasters, but how we continue operating and thriving and being competitive despite having interruptions in our business. Now, businesses that plan well get to recover faster than competitors. competitors. And I'm happy that Andrew mentioned that there are businesses within the Caribbean who are really into how do we provide the best service, the best product and value for our customers. So businesses that have a plan, businesses that are not operating from outing fires, but looking at how do we recover faster than competitors? How do we gain market share after crisis? It really helps to shift that mindset because we're no longer in scarcity mode, but now we are building sustainable, resilient businesses that can continue to help our communities thrive.
Indeed. It really is all about a mindset, isn't it? I mean, with so many things in life, you have to have your mind in the right position.
Right.
And I'm believing that this is why BCCI is partnering with UNDRR to help shape the mindset of the nation towards looking at climate resilience and being prepared. So, Misha, Mrs. Laban Clark, in this second edition, you mentioned, of course, the partnership with BCCI and UNDRR. But for MSMEs, business owners listening again right now, how will this UNDRR partnership and the work being done by the BCCI actually help them protect their businesses before and after disaster?
Thank you. And I'm happy to hear that we provided food for thought, that we could have continued to a part two. But the discussion really underscores the importance of the topic. What we're trying to do, and I think Lizra alluded to it, is we really do have to have that culture shift, a shift in the business culture, shift in our approach to how we do things. So at the Chamber, through this initiative, what we're trying to do is help MSMEs to shift their focus from just being reactive and responding to when a disaster hits, and to be more proactive. How do we proactively manage risk? And I'm so happy to have Andrew with us, because the practical example he cites would then be something that a business owner would be able to benefit from. So this project, what we're trying to do, Lizra, is to help our small businesses develop that capacity. How do they learn to be better prepared for disaster so that they can then reduce risk? The project certainly will help us to proactively assess risk, how they are going to enhance preparedness. We are helping them to, as part of the proactive strategy, to help develop tailored business continuity plans. And I think Lizra alluded to it in part one. And once a company has that business continuity plan, we heard the practical example from Andrew Payne. It is helping you to be able to build in the kind of resilience and redundancies within your operations that enable you to safeguard your operations from disruptions. So through this workshop, what we're doing is helping our small businesses that we have identified and across sectors, Krista J, we're providing them with capacity training workshops, helping them to get the kind of tools and knowledge that they need. We have developed the BCP plans and templates that for the five key sectors: tourism, retail, manufacturing, financial services, and professional services that are within the membership of the Chamber. And once we give them, these companies, these user-friendly resources, what we're doing, you're allowing them to be able to then apply these practical strategies in a structured way to help enhance their operations. We are moving beyond that. Lizra alluded to it, with providing that long-term impact by building in a train-the-trainer component, so that beyond the life of this project, what we're doing is helping these same businesses to be able to benefit from ongoing mentorship from experts who are trained, who will be trained in this coming week through the Train the Trainer workshop. And these experts are gonna then become the resources and tools that the Chamber will be able to leverage on to help our businesses beyond the life of the project. So what we're doing is building in a sustainable long-term component. Now, what we hope to have coming out of the project is, Crystal J, certainly helping our businesses to enhance their capacity, be able to manage risk in a more informed way, and then just in a simpler, in a straightforward way, as I said, helping them to shift focus. So you're not operating and building in mechanisms to just react to disaster. You're building in strategies. And then what we want to see coming out of this, Krista J, is that we are having businesses building resilience in almost like building it into the DNA of the business, so that how they operate, how they function is more strategic, more informed, and more proactive, because that's the only way we can help our businesses to be better prepared in times of disaster. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, indeed. Now, even as you just mentioned some of those measurements and investments you're going to be making, I'm going to ask you, Hallam or Andrew, looking back, what specific preparedness measures or investments, perhaps some of what Misha just mentioned, do you believe made the biggest difference in helping your business, Thematic Barbados, recover and become more resilient?
Okay. Thanks for the question, Crystal J. There are a few investments we made, and specific investments for us as a company that does restoration after disasters. It's like we purchase a lot more of things that buildings would require in the eventuality of a flood. So we had a lot of air movers, which help buildings to dry. We bought more investments in dehumidifiers, indoor air quality equipment. These things we invested in so that should something happen, we would be able to do more than one thing instead of being able to only serve one person. Now, I would like to answer this question too in a slightly different way as well. I think having resources, and we as a country, and also as the Caribbean, need to be looking at what things do we need to have stockpiled in order to be very more prepared for disasters. I think there's a lot of work happening in the area, but we can look at it as a company, we can look at it as individuals at home, and we can look at it as a country as well. But for us also, some of the things that we did, we have a lot of standardized SOPs that help us that when things happen, we follow these specific steps. And that made a big difference in how we approach situations. Having persons that are trained and know how to approach every situation, whether it's a fire, because you can have a hurricane and still have a fire. You can have a fire, a big fire, any given day in Barbados, and where a community is affected. And then how do we approach that situation? Also, as I have mentioned in the previous program, having cross-trained persons who are multi-skilled, that made a real big difference that I can send a group of persons there and they can actually do multiple things should something happen and I don't have to go and look for different resources. Some of the things we also invested in was being able to work remotely. All of our staff in terms of the management team can easily, once we have internet, and we're now looking at some other, now that we've done this program with the UNDRR, that we're doing the program with them, we're now looking at investing in other technology that would allow us that we have our own internet should things fall apart, and we can communicate and still keep our business running, our accounting is back up, things like that. So that is one of the steps we are currently working on and doing. And I think one of the things that we often forget to prepare for that makes a big difference is having good insurance and good coverage. I know a lot of us don't like it, and I can understand why, because you have to spend money to make these things happen. But it is necessary to have good coverage, know your coverage, know the specifics of your coverage. Those things make a big difference. Very often, when I go to a home and the person or business, Sometimes they don't know the details of their coverage. And I try my best to explain, well, more than likely you have coverage for your structure, but you may not have coverage for your contents. But you need to contact your insurance company immediately to find out what are these specific things, what things are recoverable and what things aren't. And that puts person at ease because at least they know what to do. And hey, this is a path that they need to travel, but that will make a big difference in preparing for any kind of disaster. And many of us happen to be uninsured, not sometimes not even by choice, just by the economics of life and think how things go. And once you know that you're underinsured, then you could at least say to yourself, well, I'm 25% underinsured. Let me at least do these steps to make sure that I don't have a fire at my house. Let me make sure that everything that I can do possible, I take care of. And these are things and conversations that probably just need to happen more often. So a person's, yeah, I may not be able to afford 3 million, let's say $3 million as a business in coverage, or even as a homeowner, $750,000 in coverage. But I can take mitigating steps to manage my risk should something happen. And
Right.
I think those are some of the preparedness things I would tell to can make that can make a big difference.
Absolutely. Wow, you know, time flies when you're having fun. If I didn't listen, I would say we would need a part three for this program. But you know, wrapping up now, I just want to head back to the ladies. Thank you very much, Andrew. You've given a lot of food for thought.
Thank you.
Lizra, looking ahead, how is the UNDRR helping businesses of all sizes build long-term resilience against future disasters?
So thank you very much for asking this. And I'm really encouraged by the practical steps that Andrew is taking with Sematic and even seeing how the support that's being provided currently is helping them to look and think even bigger to ensure that resilience is embedded in what they're doing. So even just looking also at how UNDRR's role is being advanced to help the business community, we are looking at supporting MSMEs and integrating MSMEs into the national disaster risk reduction strategies. So ensuring that the private sector works closely with the disaster of emergency management, even integrated into the work of CDEMA as our Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency, and ensuring that looking at the Met offices and all the different agencies that support the resilience of the country, ensuring that our private sector is understands what's happening and that we work together to ensure success of everyone. Also looking at that partnership between the chamber, the government, and the private sector, we want to congratulate BCCI for the great work that BCCI is doing, taking that leadership in ensuring that the private sector could be more resilient. And every partner have a key role to play, and it's really comforting to see that BCCI is playing a role, being proactive and looking at solutions to help in the business community. I'm also looking at building capacity so that resilience knowledge also stays within Barbados. Oftentimes in the Caribbean, we're looked at as being small, and even that recent interview that happened between the Prime Minister of Barbados and a well-known podcaster,
Trevor
it's
Noah.
Kristen Trevor Noah, seeing how our Caribbean is looked at as small. We're little, as Jamaicans say, we're little, but we talawa, like we're strong people. So ensuring that our knowledge is also strong and we're able to even be that best practice for the world, a Caribbean having so many cascading impacts. With the UNDRR, it's also looking at how we can strengthen the Caribbean and how we can amplify the good things that are happening within the Caribbean. So even within the project, being able to spotlight what Steamatic is doing to all the ARISE networks around the world is part of that priority of what the UNDRR looks at. But also just a few more areas supporting resilient supply chains and business ecosystem. The private sector have different parts, like Misha mentioned about the statistics of the MSMEs within the larger business community and employing over 60% of the workforce within Barbados, ensuring that all different parts of the supply chain can be connected and it's resilient. What if our airport is closed? How does that affect the small We say small, but no one is small, like we said before. How does that affect each sector within Barbados and ensuring that the ecosystem works together successfully? And finally, encouraging all businesses that resilience is a competitive advantage. It is not just a compliance exercise that we tick a box to say, hey, we have a document, which is a business continuity plan. Let me put it on the table and it gets dust and no one knows what's inside of it. But really encouraging our business community that we can use it to help us to become more successful. So that's also part of the goal of UNDRR, is looking at how Bajan businesses, Barbadian businesses can operate every day, not only when a storm is approaching, but how can we be resilient as a continuum?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to direct the final question to Misha Laban-Clark. How do you see Barbados's business sector evolving over the next 5 to 10 years with these resilience and preparedness initiatives in place?
When we look at what we have experienced in the Caribbean over the last, let's say, 10 years, we continue to see the kind of devastation, and devastation not just in terms of losses, but the economic costs. When we experience hurricanes, we also had COVID, which was something that was unprecedented, and nothing prepared us for it. But in terms of what the impact, again, in terms of the workforce, the economy, and lives, millions of lives lost worldwide, and the kind of upheaval that it had on our lives. What COVID taught us, certainly, and other disasters, is that if we do not have the resilience built into our businesses and operations, into our individual lives, into our communities, we are not able to survive. And so what we are doing and hoping as we plan ahead to prepare businesses for is that business continuity planning is what we're gonna, it's the answer to helping to strengthen the preparedness and resilience of our businesses to be able to weather any future shocks. Because it's not whether or not they're gonna happen or uncertainty, they are certain. And we don't want the kind of statistics that Lizra indicated, where we're having 40% of small businesses just never reopening. We want to help businesses prepare and prepare properly. We are hoping that as we continue as a chamber to champion the importance of business resilience, working with partners like the UNDRR to help build the capacity that is needed of our businesses, what we're hoping in another 5 to 10 years, Krista J, is that we're gonna be able to have businesses that are sound. Because the truth is, when you prepare, it's an investment in our future, not just the future of a business, but the future of our ecosystem, business ecosystem. That's what we need. And I think we'll have a more resilient, not just more resilient businesses, but I think we will definitely have a more resilient country, so that we can be safeguarding that kind of knock-on effect. We can be safeguarding our businesses, our livelihood, and just our entire economy. I end by saying that, you know, there is a study that shows that preparedness really pays off when we prepare and we're building the mechanisms necessary to make our businesses resilient. It says that experts estimate that every dollar spent on disaster reduction saves up to $15 in post-recovery costs. Do the maths, right? And so we cannot afford not to be making the necessary investments if we want to ensure the long-term sustainability of our businesses and the sustainability of our country. So that's where I'm hoping that positively as a chamber, when we're investing in building our businesses, what we're doing is future-proofing businesses and future-proofing our country and our economy.
Indeed. Well, thank you. And kudos to the BCCI for this partnership with the UNDRR. And we say thank you to you, our panelists, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Lizra Fabien, UNDRR, that's United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction Consultant. Thank you, Lizra, for being here with us.
Welcome, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for your insight. Mr. Hallam Payne, otherwise known as Andrew, Managing Director of Steamatic Barbados Limited. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you, and it was wonderful being here.
Yes, indeed. And Mrs. Misha Loban-Clark, Executive Director of the BCCI. Thank you as well.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap for part two at our look at From Risk to Readiness, Building Climate and Disaster Resilience in Barbados's MSMEs. I know you're going to want to listen again to this program. You can check out the podcast on starcomnetwork.net. That's starcomnetwork.net podcast. Let's talk business. I am Crystal J. Paul. Have a great week.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.